Hello and welcome to Section 1, Episode 1 of Christian Ambassador Training. My name is David W. Gilmore. I'm a writer and speaker with Legati Christi. And Section 1 here is all about foundations. We're going to talk about foundational things that we kind of have to get set in our minds to be able to do what we're about to do here. Before we get into the what and why of Christianity, I wanted to talk a little bit about a concept that has helped me to be able to live a life in a world that thinks and acts differently than I do. It's also an effective model for how I'm able to engage with others who are not believers. I want to talk about this because it's a mindset that will kind of set the tone for this class, and that is the mindset of an ambassador. This class is called Ambassador Training, so we ought to know what an ambassador is before we start. Now, I know a lot of times when I'm told to do something, but I'm not given instructions, I think of roles or jobs or figures that embody those kind of ideals, and I try to emulate those. If someone said to me, Dave, you need to be brave, the image that immediately pops into my head is that of a firefighter or a soldier. You know, with that image in my head, I can kind of start thinking of actions that someone who is brave, you know, like how firefighters charge into flaming buildings or whatever and put their lives above others. If someone told me to be loving, I immediately think of a mother and her child and how she cares and tenderly for her child when it's upset or hurt or sick or something like that. And if someone tells me to be wise, I immediately think of Yoda or Dumbledore or Gandalf or probably someone much older than I am who's lived a long life and had lots of experience. That's what I think of with wisdom. And now when it came to sharing the gospel, I always struggled with knowing how to do that because I never got a lot of instruction on how to share the gospel. I knew that I was supposed to talk to people about Jesus, but it made me really uncomfortable. Now, I grew up in the 80s, so when I looked around at other people who were talking to strangers about Christianity, I was left with one of three methods really to follow to try to figure this out. First was the televangelist. In the 80s and the 90s, these guys were everywhere. They were guys running back and forth across the stage in really nice suits and asking for people to send them money while they were living in these multi-million dollar estates. And almost every one of them ended up leaving their ministry due to some scandal. So that wasn't the way I wanted to do it. Then, of course, we have the street preacher. And this was the guy who stood on a box in the middle of a college campus and told all the kids how they were fornicators and drunkards doomed to an eternity in hellfire unless they repented of their sins, right? These guys were either ignored or mocked, so that didn't seem like a good example for me either. And finally, was the traditional door-to-door method. And now look, I know lots of people still do this, and God bless you if you do. It can be effective, and it can be a great community-building tool. And I want you to please keep at it. It's just not something I'm comfortable doing. It feels like sales to me. And I did cold case sales for a little part of my life, and I hated it. Now, I know it's not sales. I know it's not the same thing. But I couldn't get that image out of my head of doing door-to-door sales and bothering people and whatever. So this method didn't work for me either. So it wasn't until 7 or 8 years ago that I finally found the model that clicked for me. Once I heard this term, everything about the enterprise of the Christian life and evangelism suddenly came into focus for me, and that is the idea of being an ambassador. Now, I first got this idea from Greg Kokel and his organization, Stand to Reason, but they didn't invent the idea. They got the idea from the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul writes, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." Now, notice that Paul doesn't say, "we should want to be." He says, "we are ambassadors for Christ." The minute you say you're a Christian, or mention church, or talk something about the Bible, you're now being looked at with a super high-end microscope. You are now representing Christ as soon as you let people know any of these things. And the person that we represent, Jesus Christ, is being evaluated through us through everything that we do. Now, this idea of being an ambassador affected me so profoundly that I used it for the name of my website. The name of my site, Legati Christi, is Latin for Ambassadors for Christ. And thinking of myself as an ambassador, that helped me to figure out a lot of the how on engaging with others about what I believe. Just like images of firefighters popped into my head when I thought about someone being brave, what ambassadors do in our current culture started to form a roadmap for me to share the gospel effectively. Before we get into the how, we must first ask ourselves, what is the role of an ambassador? Now, so ambassadors are sent out from sovereign nations as representatives of that nation to other foreign nations. For example, when a U.S. ambassador is sent out to a foreign nation or to a gathering of nations for some big meeting, that ambassador is speaking on behalf of the American government. They represent Americans to other nations. As ambassadors of Jesus, we're representing a sovereign kingdom, if you see John 18:36, and we're tasked with spreading the good news of the gospel. Now, because I'm talking about foreign nations, some of you may think that I'm talking about being a missionary or something in a foreign country. But right where you live is likely foreign enough. Even though America is a nation founded on largely Judeo-Christian principles, it can feel like it can sometimes feel like we're foreigners living in a different country these days. A different world even sometimes. Given the climate of the day, an easy out that I often take is to throw up my hands, announce that America's lost, and then try to only engage with people who think just like I do. One tactic the church has used in the past when the culture shifts is to dig in their heels and hole up in their bunkers to prepare for a fight. But rather than close the door to the outside world, we should engage with the foreigners and make the case for the kingdom that we represent. So what are the traits of an ambassador? First, Christian ambassadors build relationships. They don't just bust in and make demands. One of the main complaints of non-believers is how self-righteous Christians are, how they often demand people live a certain way, but they don't live that way themselves. Your first move can't be to point your finger at someone and tell them to repent. They'll just think you're crazy, okay? And we've all seen this in action. I mean, how many concerts or events have you been to where there's someone out there with a sign and a bullhorn telling people to turn or burn? People either just keep walking or they taunt these guys, right? I mean, I remember these guys in college. They'd show up calling us fornicators and heathens, which, make no mistake, we probably were. But coming at us like that when we were young adults was a sure way to get a few lewd gestures and comments thrown back at them. It didn't reach anyone. And you'll almost never get someone to accept Jesus after one conversation. It does happen, but it's rare. Relationships are built over time. Before they listen, the first thing they're going to do is keep an eye on your character. Do you walk the talk? You need to build trust, and that starts with listening and asking questions, not voicing your immediate judgment. So trait number one is build relationships. Second, ambassadors don't stay in their home country much. They have to go to the foreign nation to get things done. When a nation wants to get something done, they go to them. They don't wait for the foreign nation to come to their home turf. They go to the foreigner's home turf. For most Christians, our church building is kind of like our home country, right? We feel happy and warm singing our songs and hearing our pastor's great messages and seeing all the smiling faces in the seats. This feels like home. But Jesus didn't say, if you build it, they will come. He said, go make disciples. I mean, the apostles went out. People didn't come to them. In the New Testament, Jesus is described as spending more time preaching out of the synagogue than in it. Now, for Christians, every arena can seem like foreign soil. But the better we understand these arenas, the better we can engage with them. And being able to frame Christianity in the context of the foreign culture helps the foreigners understand how Christianity fits into the bigger picture. Now, somewhat related to the last point, an effective ambassador learns the language of the foreign nation that he or she deals with. When a U.S. ambassador wants to get something done, They don't make the foreigners learn English when they go to the country. They learn the foreign language. And Christians use this language all their own that sounds awkward even to other Christians. And here are some examples. You need to repent and be born again. Invite Jesus into your heart. Be washed by the blood of the Lamb and be sanctified. Now, in a church service, that may sound normal, but to non-believers, it just sounds weird and gross. Here's another one. I don't know. I just have faith. Now, these days, when you use the word faith, the word blind is kind of implied. It's as if you believe something in spite of there being no evidence for it. And this idea of blind faith, it isn't biblical, though. My faith certainly isn't blind. I have a lot of rational thought, really strong evidence, and convincing reasons behind what I believe. It's not blind. When we talk to non-believers, we should stop calling it faith. We need to use words like trust or conviction instead of faith. That's because the Greek word, usually translated as faith, is this Greek word, the form of the Greek word pistos, which is a closer to what we would call trust. It doesn't mean this blind thing. It means trust and conviction. So use those words instead of faith. Right, here's another one. Jesus died for your sins so you can spend eternity in heaven with him and not end up in hell. Now, that may be accurate, but it's really awkward. People are going to kind of take offense about that, you know, when you tell them they're going to go to hell. Try it a different way, you know, like ask them if they believe that people who commit moral crime should be punished, and they'll probably say yes. And ask him if he's ever committed a moral crime, and he better say yes, or he's committing one right then by lying, right? Then, you know, admit that you have too, because we all have. So we have a problem here, right? We admit that people who break the law should be punished and that we have broken the law. Then hit him with the gospel. That's where Jesus comes in. Jesus stepped up and said he would take on the burden of our punishment so that our rap sheet could be wiped clean and we wouldn't have to do time or pay fines. In that simple conversation, you just explained the gospel, and you didn't have to use a single Bible verse or theological phrase or condemn them to hell to do it. It doesn't have to be that hard. You just have to think of a different way to say it. And here's a great quote from J. Warner Wallace. He says, "Good communicators throw the ball so people can catch it and avoid confusing, esoteric, technical jargon." Now, here's something that may be somewhat controversial in Christian circles. Unless we are talking about the Bible specifically, we shouldn't cite Bible verses directly. We often have this weird habit of tossing out verses in the middle of a conversation like badges of honor. And that might have been effective about a century ago. But most people are biblically illiterate these days. So when we start quoting Bible verses at people, it just sounds weird. By the way, the apostles in Acts didn't quote a single Bible verse when they shared the gospel with the Gentiles or with people who weren't Jewish. There's a great example of this with Paul in Acts 17 when he's in Athens. When he's in the synagogue, yes, he quotes the scriptures. But when he gets in front of the Greek philosophers, he doesn't quote the scriptures, he quotes their poets. Because the Greeks didn't know the scriptures, so it didn't do him any good to toss out Bible verses to them. So even though the apostles didn't use Bible verses, they brought thousands of people to believing in Christ. And they did it by using culturally relevant language to get their message across. Now listen, I work in IT, okay? And we certainly have our own language. Lots of acronyms and spiffy phrases like OPSEC and VLANs and the cloud. And let's say we have a problem on our network. So should I tell the CEO that several nodes on the LAN are using an ARP flood to commit a DDoS attack against our edge router? Or some of the machines on the network have a virus and it's affecting the internet connection. Which one of those would make more sense to him? The first one is way more accurate. It describes specifically what's going on. But I would have lost him with the first phrase that technical phrase that I used. He would have been gone. We can't get hung up on jargon when we're talking to people who don't speak our language, is my point. And Jesus is a great example of this. Jesus spoke in parables as a way to teach people in the language that they understood. Sure, the scribes and teachers he scolded them for not knowing the scriptures. But to normal people, most of his teaching was done through parables and stories and using analogies that they would understand. Now, the fourth thing that ambassadors do is they speak on behalf of their nation. They are given authority to speak on behalf of their country to other countries. Their words might as well be the words of the leader. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul writes, "We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We represent Jesus from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed and to everyone we come across. And we have been made his representatives in this world. We are how God gets things done most of the time, through us." Now think about this. Sometimes the ambassador will be the first American a foreigner has ever met. Up until that moment, they have only seen news reports or movies about America. Now think about that for a second. What kind of image do you think people have of us as Americans right now? And the ambassador may be the first real American that that person has ever met. A great example of this was when I moved my wife to Ohio from Los Angeles with me for a few months. She's from LA and I'm from Ohio. Now, this was back in the 90s. And in the 90s, there were two popular images coming out of LA: Beverly Hills 90210 and gangster rap. I'm not even kidding. People thought she either had lunch with movie stars every day or she was dodging gunfire at every traffic stop. And why did people think that? Because the only impressions they had of LA were what was shown on the news and what was on TV. So this is what they thought she came from. They thought everyone in Los Angeles had to deal with one of those things. But she came from a decent suburb, not even close to any of those things. Most of the time, people are missing a lot of the pieces. So the ambassador has to spend time setting the example and correcting misconceptions. Just like most foreigners get their impressions of Americans from movies and TV, people often get their impressions of Christians from movies and TV. And think about how Christians are usually portrayed in Hollywood and the news media. They're usually like self-righteous, hypocritical, they possess some sort of blind faith that encourages them to close their eyes to reality. I mean, think about the last time that the preacher was a good guy in the show that you watched, right? It rarely happens anymore. That's the impression that people have of Christians, and we have to work against that. As ambassadors, we may be the first time someone has come into contact with the gospel. That means we need to know what message is accurate, and we need to live that out. We represent Jesus, and he is being judged through us. We have to be ready to correct any misconception that we come across and defend what we believe. The focus of this class will be on the knowledge part. I want to be able for us to accurately portray what it is that we believe, so that you can then speak on behalf of the person that we represent. So the last trait that an ambassador has to have is they get their hands dirty. They don't just fill themselves with head knowledge about the country that they'll be dealing with. They can't learn about the culture they need to engage with from the palace. Ambassadors have to visit the marketplace and the cultural centers. Just like they get bad images of us from the news and movies, we get bad images of them from the news and movies and social media places that we engage with. We shouldn't be afraid to get our hands dirty and do life. I mean, really do life with people who we're trying to reach. I mean, Jesus was frequently found in the presence of the outcast. And lots of people love to point out how Jesus ate with prostitutes and tax collectors, the outcast people of society of the day. Now, we shouldn't take this as Jesus affirming those behaviors that they were engaging in. He didn't partake in the sinful behavior that they were doing. No, he said he was there because they were spiritually sick. They needed a doctor, and he was the doctor. He was trying to lead them to repentance of the sins that they were committing. He wasn't encouraging them. But the point is, he did life with them to build relationships. He didn't wait for them in a church and only offer salvation to those who came to him. He went to them. As ambassadors, we need to engage with people in their comfort zones, in their homes, out to dinner, at backyard cookouts. Meeting them in their home turf is a way to build relationships that lead to the cross. These places lead to people opening up and having deeper conversations. And there's no pressure to bring up God or the gospel at every encounter. If you look at missionaries who go to foreign places, more often than not, they spend a lot of time helping around the villages first, building houses and schools and caring for the sick, before they get into the gospel. But don't sacrifice who you are in order to win someone. If things get uncomfortable, then leave. Your friends will respect you for it. One of the major complaints that people have against Christians are that they're hypocritical. So don't engage in things that you think are wrong and are telling other people are wrong just as a way to make inroads to later share the good news. You want to model the Christian walk for them, not break the rules to hopefully win them over with how cool you are. So in closing, as a follower of Jesus, we represent him in everything that we do and everyone we come in contact with, to our spouses, to our kids, to our friends and coworkers. We shouldn't seek to stay huddled up in our own comfortable communities, but to know how to relate to others around us who are not believers. This requires us to be in the culture, but not of it. We need to be ready to show them why what the Bible says is true, why God's design for humanity leads to the most prosperous world, how Jesus solves the problem every worldview admits is there, and how the Christian worldview makes the most sense for how the world around us works. Thinking of yourself as an ambassador is a great way to get you in the correct mindset to make that happen, and it sets the tone for the lessons that are about to come. Thanks for watching. If you found this lesson helpful, can you do me a favor and share it with other people? I'm really excited about this stuff, and I want as many people to hear it as possible. Could you also be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next lesson? Be sure to follow me on the socials here. And the best thing to do is sign up for the newsletter at legatechristi.org so you don't miss any new content. Thanks.